Don't at me, but H-Town for life. I'm here with Kelly Rowland and up-and-coming actress Elle Lorraine. We're going to be talking about Destiny. This is going to be a really exciting Don't At Me. More after the music break. What's going on? This is Justin Simmons, and you're listening to Don't At Me. I'm sitting down with Houston's finest. Woo-hoo. I have a pretty little woman in front of me and a Destiny's Children. I tried to make that dancing. Work. I couldn't. What's up, Kelly Rowland?
What's up, Justin?
Kelly, you're what? Kelly Rowland.
You're Justin Simmons.
And you're here.
I'm so excited to be here.
Okay, guys, I don't know how you don't know who Kelly Rowland is, but you do, but I'm just going to say all of these things. She's literally an icon.
Oh my God,
okay?
Don't do that.
And literal icon. Starting out as a member of Destiny's Child before moving to her solo career as a singer, television
really
host, writer, activist. And one of my personal idols, Kelly Rowland. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Justin.
And y'all, Elle Lorraine.
Okay. Hey.
Get into it. If you don't know who she is, first of all, season 2 of Dear White People features her prominently. Thank you very much. In an episode. And she also has the greatest 3-episode arc in the history of television.
Hilarious.
On Insecure. And...
drum roll.
She is the star of my new movie, Bad Hair. Woo! Bitch, you heard it here first.
Yes.
MFers. I did that for my mom. And guess what, guys? Kelly's in it, too.
I am.
You don't act like you didn't know she was in it.
I know she's in it, clearly, but they didn't know, so I'm just acting as the audience.
Well, look, I'm allowed to finally say that, so welcome, guys.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm going to ask you what I just asked you, which is, what is pissing you off right now, Kelly?
The fact that we have a leader of the free world who is a horrible example of a human being.
I miss this. Who is this?
Oh my God. I refuse to say his name these days. Unless it's like, I only refer to him on the back of LeBron's shoe.
Ooh.
So okay. I just.
Fighting words.
You know what I mean? I'm really,
really. Is he going to tweet about this podcast? No, he doesn't.
I'm really over it, and I'm really disappointed only because you have an opportunity to shift your country in such a way, and you use it in a very old-fashioned mentality.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. I'm never, ever, ever, you know how politically correct Destiny's Child was.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the era I came up in.
Never
we never talked
that.
About politics.
Yeah.
Hell, we performed at George Bush's Durham rally.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what his policies were.
Wow.
So, you know, the older I get, and I definitely think it's because I have my son now.
Yeah.
Like when you're paying attention to stuff and you're like, and this was like, of course, I think we all started to understand when Obama came into his administration because we were like, oh my God, it's a black man in office. But it's way past that now, like paying attention to everything. And I'm sorry to get like right into it.
Listen, it's what we're all thinking about.
Yes, we're all thinking about it. And we're on the brink of like a moment where our vote actually can shift the trajectory of the rest of like our children's lives, our children's children's lives. And I just feel like it's 126 million people did not vote last year.
Yeah, I know.
That's a big number.
Yeah.
And if we, if I, if you, if Elle can be a part of shifting that number,
you know,
for God's sake, making it lower.
You know what's crazy, too? Because we're all from Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Houston is, it's a strange place because it's like this liberal bastion of like progressive, cool, funky people. Somewhat. Now, okay, you know, there's oil money up in there. But by and large, like there's a lot of spaces that I was in Houston that felt comfortable and progressive and liberal and open and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
But you're in Texas, though. Like, you're in the middle of Texas, and it feels like my state never fit the city I grew up in.
Yeah.
And you were going to say something else.
Well, I do want to say one thing that made me really proud about the last election, with the presidential election, is that Texas was more Democratic than it's ever been.
Yeah.
Word?
In history. Yeah.
It has a real shot at getting to purple, maybe blue. And obviously, like, Beto O'Rourke is like a big figure right now because Harris County, our county, just so you guys know where we are in time, because this podcast airs a little bit after sometimes, we're 2 weeks away from the midterms, and the early voting in Harris County has like, it's at historic highs. I mean,
it's
never been this high before. And a lot of the new voters are young people and people of color, surprise. And O'Rourke actually has a shot.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
no,
he actually
true.
Has a shot, despite it being Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, he is going up against Ted Cruz, who is like a cartoon character bad person. Like, he's just sort of like...
a cartoon character
bad person. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, it's cartoon. It's like, how did anyone fall for this?
Yeah.
I don't quite understand.
Like an actual, like, obvious villain.
They're all such villains. It's bizarre.
That is what's so interesting. It's like,
they're like
we
on the
see
nose.
It. How is this happening? If we see it happening, we see the car crash, we see the, just like the mixed messages, we see the lies and the rhetoric. How is it still, how are they still fooling us? And like,
because there's still some generations of old mentality that still feel like America is their country and it's not their country. It's everybody's country now. And the world has evolved. And, you know, it's just that, you know, bubble mentality where it's just like, no, this is mine, or this is where everything that I feel, and this is right, and this is only supposed to exist. So if you are of color, if you are transgender, if you are gay, if you are minority, period, they just can't understand why did you come here? But that's actually not what happened, boo-boo.
No.
Your homie back in the day took this country from Native Americans. Let's not get that twisted.
Also, there's such a huge lack mentality that comes with that. And like, for us to be the free world and for us to be such an example of whatever the American dream is and for us to just constantly be preaching lack makes no sense. Like, we were built on
but this is what happened though. This was specific, okay? They planned
facts.
This shit. Like,
facts.
When you give somebody to hate, you actually kind of give them a gift, okay? Because like, one of my favorite quotes from James Baldwin is that, you know, and I'm going to mess it, I always mess up his quotes on this show because I don't have them in front of me. But the intention of the quote was that the reason why people don't give up their hate is because once they do, there's pain there. And we've been avoiding a lot of pain for a lot of generations by hating each other.
Justin.
It can be good, but it sucks though, because we really are in that.
That's a good quote.
It's a great quote.
True.
James Baldwin wrote it, y'all. You know, he'd be knowing. But like, that is really, when you see these people, the reason why they can't even accept anything that is factual or true about, you know, the orange one, it's usually because they can't let go of that hate. They just can't let it go. It's like a drug.
That's fascinating, especially when you remove the hate to say there's pain there instead of choosing to heal it.
Yes.
You know, as one, as we all are, even if we want to look at it as like a country as opposed to races or, you know, the human race.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Instead of healing the pain, we'd rather feed it.
Oh, yeah.
With hate. You know
because
what I mean?
Because we don't know how to heal the pain. That's the real tea. We don't know how to heal the pain. You know what I mean? Like, as a country, we don't know how to do it. As individuals, we don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And we're being marketed constantly ways to just avoid it. So you grow up with an avoidance mindset because everything we are marketed to, our phones, the things we wear, everything, it's just about like, okay, for 5 minutes I can avoid. I can avoid my inner thoughts.
I tried to drink it away.
Yes. Yes.
That's a fact.
I want to talk about destiny.
Ooh. Destiny.
Yeah. As in Destiny's Children.
All right.
Okay.
C-H-I-L-R-E-N.
I-L-R-E-N. No, we're going on tour, the three of us. We're Destiny's Children.
Children.
Okay. Actually, I added some S's to it. It's Destiny's Children's. And
three S's for each one of us.
Yeah. Ooh. And we're, you know, like a, I don't know what we are exactly, but I just know that I'm in the front. And
you're in the front. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys are going to be like flanking me and like, I'm going to pop up.
Are you rapping in this?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, I think Kelly will come up with what I'm going to do, but.
Okay.
No, but I do want to talk about Destiny because I feel like there's something very particular about the two of you. And Kelly, like, I've admired you from afar for so long. But even when, you know, you guys would come around PVA, HSPVA, High School for Performing and Visual Arts.
What? Like, alumni?
Yeah, right? Occasionally, like, I would like, you know, there'd be a commotion in the comments. And lo and behold, Kelly and Beyonce are just like, hey, what's up, guys? We're from Houston as well, and we used to go here. How are you? I don't know what you said. I was too scared to approach.
Aww.
The point is... But you, both of you, since I've known you, Elle, since we went to high school together, and I've known you from afar, Kelly, you both have a quality about you, I would say. Like, you both, to me, have a star situation going on. And when I say star situation, everybody who has a star situation doesn't end up becoming famous or a celebrity or whatever, but there's like a, there's something shining from inside. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just curious, you know, what has the role of destiny played anything? Because to me, it was like obvious from meeting you and again, looking at you from below, Kelly, that you guys had a destiny, that there was something special going on with you that was different than other people, frankly. Not better, not worse, but just different. And I'm curious, like, have you ever felt that? And has that ever been something you've thought about? And either one of you can answer the question.
I love that question, first off. And yes. So I, being from Houston, I decided I was going to be an actress at some point. And I'm one of those people, when I decide, I'm kind of like, all in. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, I'm kind of going to be an actress. And like, if not, maybe I'll like, you know, go into engineering. I mean, I didn't really have a backup. And that's not even
that's a
good
lot of people's backup, though.
It's a lot, you know.
Engineering.
So I was very one track minded. So growing up.
And what age was that?
I want to say it started at 14.
Wow.
Like when I got really sure.
Wow.
So I was only going to school in California for college because I had to be in LA and because I had to be a, you know, an actress in films. And so I was always headed towards this path. Now, it took a very long time after being in LA. I've been here for a while. I stayed with it and I trusted that this dream I had didn't come out of nowhere. I felt like my dream, my imagination was kind of a roadmap. And although I could see the destination, I couldn't see all the steps. So I just had to have the faith and trust myself and trust what I was getting through my intuition. Now, 2 years ago, I went through this crazy depression. I had my heart broken. I had like
Do we need to hurt him?
We don't need to hurt him. He's hurt. And plus, he'll see me from afar.
Oh, he's hurt.
That's that's a good hurt.
And let me tell you something. When bad hair come out, it's fine.
My phone's going to be
ringing. He's going to be in pain. It's fine.
So 2 years ago, I went through this depression. It was like the breakup. It was some other stuff. And I had to like be by myself a lot and just get honest. And I really started to write to God like every day and be very transparent about what I was feeling, what I was thinking, my fears, my questions. Like I had to be honest with God and stop bringing this version of myself.
Wow.
And so when I did that, everything started to change. Like my life started to open up again. And
I
like,
felt that.
You felt that?
I felt that out.
You could feel it. Like it was like in the room when you said that. That was very, very like real.
But I also felt it in life. Like I just felt.
That was amazing.
Because there is that meantime, man. You know, Kelly don't know about this because Kelly, you know, Kelly's
famous.
Kelly. But like,
y'all can see my face right now.
Honey, I know your journey is, I'm sure. Okay. But like, you know, there is that gap between this is what I can do and I know I can do it and yet it isn't happening yet. That gap, like how you traverse that gap, I think, it says a lot, and people are told that a lot when they're still in the struggle, but don't know if they can lean into that advice of like just work on yourself, boo boo,
and
get ready, get ready for the moment.
Get ready, you like I did prepare myself a lot for whatever was coming, even though I didn't know.
Yeah.
And then by the time it came so fast, I didn't have the time to prepare in between. Like, had I just waited and then everything happened, I would have been trying to catch up the whole time.
Yeah, and I agree, too. If it had happened for me when I wanted it to, I would have been a hot mess, okay? I'm not Kelly Rowland. I can't deal, okay, with success for my entire life, Kelly. No, but I'm curious about that because you were in the game as a kid, basically.
Yeah.
And it was like, I imagine you almost have to like fall in love with your own thing, like over and over again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you change. You change all the time.
That's the thing. I think you continue to change.
Yeah.
And like, even now, by the way, there's still change happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just to be completely transparent. Like, I think that the older you get, the more you experience setups, but setbacks really like start to give you like that eye of the tiger kind of mentality because you're like, oh, you said I couldn't?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you said I'm not? Okay, I got you.
Right.
I got you. And it's not even into proving anybody wrong. It's to really prove it to yourself.
Yeah.
Because I remember I had the feeling to prove it to somebody else and then I had to prove it to myself and that's when it was really like a greater satisfaction.
And when was that? Like, when did you have that shift?
probably around the end of my 20s.
Okay.
To be completely honest. Around
That's a
the
good
end
time
of
to
my
do it.
Yeah, it's such a great time to do it. I was like, oh my God, bitch, you about to be 30. Like, you need to get it together. What are you gonna do? Like, and in another 10 years, you're gonna be 40. Bitch, what are you gonna do? That's what I was thinking in my head. Like, oh, you need to get your stuff together.
It you proved it to the wrong person.
Exactly, exactly. But like, as far as destiny, it was one part of your story I completely saw myself in, because I do think that when you have a focus and when you're excited about something and you know it's just for you, mm-hmm. you're willing to work, to like do the work,
yeah.
like getting completely immersed and drenched or whatever it is and whatever it is that you want to be and doing or whatever. You're willing to do the work for it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it takes. And it is no second option.
And did that spark in you as a kid? Or did like
it
that,
did.
Okay.
So mine happened because my mother was a nanny, mm-hmm. hardworking nanny. And she had a boss, a beautiful white woman, Janine. I'll never forget her. And Janine didn't live in the south side of Atlanta.
Okay.
I did.
Okay.
I'm originally, like, born in Atlanta, mm-hmm. grown in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And when we moved to Texas, I remember looking at Janine, I was like, she has a nice car.
Mm.
She smells good. What job does she have? I remember going to her job, picking her up from her job one day and watching her work late. And it was just certain things I was looking at with this woman. And then I met B.
Mm.
Her mother is a black woman, owns a salon. All these women from different influential backgrounds are coming into the salon. There's an art dealer. Mm-hmm. There's a lawyer. There's a car salesman. There's mm-hmm. all these mm-hmm. different women from so many different backgrounds. And I'm like, oh, I'm about to get this. My life is about to be different. Mm-hmm. This generation is about to be different for me.
So it's like you saw the kind of woman you wanted to be first.
Absolutely, wow. Through other women.
That's wow. really powerful.
So women, my whole journey, I've always been moved by them, whether it was even learning how to, like, organize my house.
Mm-hmm,
you know what
mm-hmm,
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Sonya Rhodes. So it's like, it's
please
it's,
come teach me as well. Shout out from Justin.
So it's like a lot is, I felt like I was always looking at women to see who I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And find my own way as well.
That's really interesting. So it's like you saw the full thing first, mm-hmm. and music became the way to be that thing. If I'm picking up what you're putting down.
When I was 5, I said I wanted to be like Whitney Houston and wear a red dress.
Mm-hmm.
I've worn every dress you could think of.
Honey, I've seen you in some dresses.
And I knew I wanted to sing then. And my mama said that when I came home, God rest his soul, she said, my baby, because it was a project, and, mm-hmm. you know, I had a red dress on. It was a horrible red dress. I'm like, wow, what a fashion faux pas. And she said, when I came home, she was like, how am I going to get my baby, like, fulfill her destiny, basically. How am I going to change her life? What am I going to do? She didn't know what to do. Moved to Houston, met one of the girls, Latavia. Latavia and I went to school together,
mm-hmm.
and we were playing Barbies and it's like singing in the closet. That was it. Next thing I know, my world shifted.
Are you serious?
That was it. My world shifted. And it was, I mean, it was, of course, while in flux because we were kids and trying to figure out the, like, you know, labels and how many people were in the group and this and that. But
this was girls' time, period.
This was girls' time.
There was a lot of girls in girls' time.
You know, it was like 18 girls in girls' time.
45 girls. I'm telling
you. It's girls who can say they were in girls' time.
Wow.
Listen,
they're running around here like we were Destiny's Child then.
When I see Star Search in my mind and the girls' time girls come out, it's like about 45 girls. Like,
it's, I can hear the music.
I can't. I
one,
can
two,
hear,
one, two, check.
I can hear the beat and there's just like a sea of girls. Like, hey, girls' time. Fine.
Your challenges are a young group from Houston. Welcome Beyonce, Latavia, Nina, Nikki, Kelly, and Ashley. The hip hop rappin' girls' time.
One, two, one, two, check. Yeah, G10 in the house with a brand new slam.
I remember, like, when pictures would be sent out of the ladies and I, of all of us or whatever, and they'd like, who does what? It's like, oh, well, these girls dance, these ones sing background, these ones sing lead, these ones...
It's like an army.
Yeah. It's like, these one they hold up the stage. These, it's like everybody had a job.
All right, y'all, I know it's good, but we'll be right back after a short break.
on the newest episode of Nocturne, KCRW's podcast about the night.
Can you hear that? Can you hear the hum?
I woke her up and I said to the wife, can you hear this noise? And she's like, what noise? And she couldn't hear it.
It's like a truck engine idling. And when you open the door to see that truck, it's not there.
All over the world, people are kept awake by a low-frequency sound with no explanation. That's on the latest Nocturne, wherever you listen to podcasts.
So, back to Destiny, guys.
Okay.
Because what I want to know about is when it doesn't look like you think it'll look like. Like, that's what I want to talk about. It's like, you know, I felt like it was my destiny to be a filmmaker, which is weird because ain't nobody knew what that was growing up. Yeah. And there was no, like, there was no reference for that in my family. But I never thought there was anything else for me. I never did. But not everybody has that. It doesn't mean, you know, not everybody has that sort of, like, hooker by crook mentality that early. And I'll be honest with you, there were moments when I was like, maybe I was wrong.
Yeah. Okay? Of course.
Because these bills are not getting paid. And nobody seems
neither
to be interested
in student loans.
No one is interested in this screenplay. So, you know, what do you do? What do you do then? Like, I feel like, you know, Kelly, you've talked a little bit about, first of all, just like this new music industry, which what is it, by the way? Can you tell me that?
Social media.
It's like
fused. It's a lot of artists.
It's a lot of singles. It's a lot of, right?
But it's changed so much only because music just feels like it's so disposable. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean.
And I just feel like we would open a CD. We would look at the producers. We would look at the lyrics.
It was like receiving a product.
We actually really appreciated the work and we waited for it. It was even the waiting game. And when you finally get it, it's a real gift. You know what I mean? And now there's like, oh, there's 800 singles released on Friday. Such and such is on.
Oh, it's weird.
This many records.
No.
It's really interesting.
So-and-so has sold 12 records and it's number one in the world. It's like, it's a different situation.
And streaming. But I'm actually happy that they have figured out a way to monetize streaming, because for a second, the music industry was looking really bleak with no sales. And that was like a really scary moment for music, because the truth is like, when Destiny's Child broke, when Escape broke, or Celine Dion broke, or Mariah broke, it was millions of dollars put behind artists at a time that really made them pop and stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And really made them popular. It was so much work. And even the publicists and A&Rs, everybody was working their asses off, you know what I mean, to make sure that it did pop. It was such an investment. It was an investment.
Yeah.
And it was great investments. And I'm grateful to this day for the team that we had, because I'm still able to go international.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And do shows or whatever it is over there, because that costs money.
So for you, does it look like what you thought it would look like, or what, you know?
No, it's completely different.
Really?
It's completely different. Like, what I love is that this newer generation, they are screaming for authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a moment to be fake.
They are, girl, but I want to put a pin in that because I have a rant coming, okay?
Go on.
No, I want to hear from Elle really quick about this too before I go into the rant about the authenticity.
Okay.
Everybody, don't let me forget. Okay, Elle.
So it's
what kind of authenticity?
How does it work when it doesn't look like?
Yeah, like what does this look like?
This right now today?
In your plan, in your destiny.
First off, I feel like I'm living in a dream a little bit, because though I, you know, saw it in my imagination, watching it happen and being a part of it, one, it just feels so right. Like, it fits. Like, I feel like I'm put on my life. Does that make sense?
You feel like you've put on your life.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it fits, but it's also like I'm in a fairy tale. Like, I'm just having all these crazy meetings, and I just got to live out my dream for the 6 weeks that we were shooting this.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to go into all these parts of my talent, I'll say, that you might not normally get to go on in your first film.
Right.
So it does not look exactly the way I imagined, but it's far more amazing. And it's so comfortable.
It's better.
If
you open up to how it's different, I've always, for me, you know, in my 35 years, I found that it's better. You know, it's better than what I thought. Like, the version of my life where it started at 22, I guess, I don't know, like, was not it. Like, I think back on that version of what I thought it would look like, mm-hmm. and that was trash
that
compared
was trash.
To what it is, you know, and the yeah. kind of stories I get to tell.
It's richer
because yeah. I think when you fall into your own lane, you get to, I don't know, for me, it's been like I'm able to put things together in my own way. And so you're not supposed to go movie to run in a TV show. Like, that's not a trajectory, right. but it was for me because yeah. that's what it looked like for me. You yeah. know what I mean? And so yeah. when people ask, like, what do I do? It's like, I don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the exciting part. It's like you pushing through all the little stumbling blocks to get there is going to make your you look totally different than me.
Absolutely. And if yeah. you try to do it exactly the way someone else did, your stroke of color won't work for you
mm-hmm.
because I can't be a better Justin than Justin can be. I can't be right. a better Kelly. I can only be Elle.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I can be the best version of me.
Y'all could
better
be
than
sisters,
y'all.
Though.
No,
just
we could.
Real,
no, we totally
yeah,
could.
Yeah, y'all could be best sisters, okay? Okay, music rant coming in 2, 3, 1. That wasn't
3,
how numbers
2,
work.
1.
I'm here for the authenticity, okay? But I just watched, what was the last, it was the MTV, mm-hmm. MTV Music Awards, and I felt like an old man telling the children to get off my lawn. Because the kids,
oh my God,
the pop stars today, okay? The music, is some of it sounded real good, Kelly. Some of it sounded real nice. But they are boring my pants off, okay? Motherfuckers in t-shirts, and they just brushed their hair and came to the show. It's like, it's so authentic that I'm like, okay, when we did authentic back in my day, it was grunge, okay?
And grunge! And
motherfuckers had flannel, and it was like, you know what I mean? Like, there was still a show
yeah,
to come
yeah, yeah.
see, you know what I
yeah.
mean? And now it's like, you know, and I can say these things because it's a podcast and nobody knows who I am, but like, what's the chick that sings Havana, Camille? I've been obsessed with her since X Factor. Like,
yeah.
I was watching her come up on X Factor.
Wow.
So I actually am a fan, but like, there's no like show. You know what I'm saying? Like, she did a great performance, but there was no, I don't know.
The theatrics
know.
Of it all?
Yeah.
yeah.
It's like, you know, I
thought.
Mean.
Thought. It was no thought.
Yeah. It's like, we grew up when, like, Michael Jackson
yeah.
on the Super Bowl would shoot out the bottom of the stadium and just stand there for about 30 minutes
yes.
until people lost their freaking minds.
Yeah.
That was a show. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You know who recently had a great show, Justin?
Who's that?
Well, put on a really great performance. Cardi B at the American Music Awards.
You know
really?
What? She did really
she
good.
She pulled
there.
Out all the stops, and I hear she's a sponge. Like she's actually really into wanting to know how can my performance be greater.
Right.
And I think that when you have those questions in place, we need to be looking at something way bigger than what she, you know what I mean? Like she has her mind set on something, and I'm really intrigued because if that performance did that when she tours, I'm excited to see what
okay.
that's going to look like.
Yeah. I'm here for that.
You know what
I'm
I mean?
I'm here for that. I'm here for that. And there were some good ones at the AMAs. Like I felt like Sierra killed it with the level
always.
Of situation.
Yeah, always.
People put in some work, but you know, it just, and maybe it's what you were talking about, the A&R of it all. And this is just like me talking shit about pop culture. So feel
I
free to
it.
Chime
please,
in.
Please.
But like, you know, maybe it's because we don't have the money going into the development or whatever, but I don't care. Like,
yeah.
I hear these songs sometimes. I'm like, that's cute. I have no idea who's singing this, and I have no reason to find out because
right.
there'll just be another song next week that sounds
right.
cute as well.
Right.
And there's no personality, you know? And it's like, I'm glad that we as people, black people, whatever, people in music are more mentally healthy than our forefathers in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But I also need some energy, though. I need
yeah.
some crazy energy.
Yeah.
I agree. I miss shows, you know?
Yeah.
And we don't experience that anymore.
I mean,
but
you do. You do. Like anybody from y'all's generation, you do. Okay,
yeah.
You, Beyonce, Sierra, Brandy, like all the motherfuckers who came up in the right era knew
yeah.
and still know
yeah.
how to put on a show.
Yeah,
it's the new, fresh on the block kids who are making this music that I think is great, but it's I just don't have a personality to sink into, even if it's invented.
I want Frank to come back. Frank Ocean.
Me too.
He does something that no one else is doing.
I miss him so.
I love Frank Ocean.
Yeah, he's in a little weird spot though in this industry.
Is he?
Well, just because he left his label.
Okay.
But I don't think Blonde was a part of that. I really don't know the specifics, but I know that when he made his break, it was not love all the way around.
Dang.
You know what I'm saying? And so I don't know if that's why. I mean, he seems like the kind of person who likes to go away and come back. Kanye done gone crazy. It's just like, I need some help, Kelly. So what are we going to do? How you going to fix it?
Me?
Yes, you.
Oh, my God. Not alone. I you know what's funny is
Put out your new album today.
And oh, my God.
On the cast.
Ah,
I'm just kidding. Okay, I gave Kelly a heart attack. It's fine.
You have to want that.
Yeah.
I think as an artist, you have to want that. You have to want to give people a great show. You have to want to give an experience.
Do you have to be crazy to want that?
Yes.
I was just going
to
say yes.
You do have to be crazy to want it. You have to see it in the back of your head. Like now, even as I'm in a studio, I'm like, oh, I know what this is going to look like. So I pull up references and I'll put it on my mood board. Oh, when there's content or when there's this moment for this song, I want this to look like this. And by the way, all of that stuff costs money.
Mm-hmm.
That's another factor.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you have to want to give people a moment. And speaking in a vain way, you have to want them to talk about you.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
You have to.
How do you make space for that? Because me and Elle now...
I've never said that out loud, so...
No, but I think it's
but
real.
But I think that's very real.
I think it's real, because you know what? A few things about you I think are really interesting is how cool you are, first of all.
Oh, thanks.
Right? Because, like, you came up in a weird spot where y'all were famous as kids, and it was messy fame. It was especially in H-Town. You know about this, Elle. Like, we were all... Like, the gossip on the street about who was in the group and the skin colors and all that stuff.
And we had ownership to Destiny's Child,
yeah.
Of course.
We were like, nah, that's mine. I don't know why. We talked about y'all like we knew y'all, okay, back in the day. But like the thing is y'all, you kind of all emerged as sane people, like who seem anyway to have your shit together. But it's like you found, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like you found a way to like hold the part of being crazy that makes you interesting without letting it take all the way over.
Ah, that's a very
good
way to put it. That's a really good way to put it. I think that
my house mother is Michael Jackson. Okay, so I am fitfully aware of every aspect of his career, and you know, I think at a certain point the Barnum and Bailey of it all took over. You know what I mean? Without that, you wouldn't have gotten Thriller and Bad and you know all that stuff.
Yes.
So, but like, can we have it and still live and be sane? It feels like the answer might be yes. I don't know.
Well, I think that you can. I think that it's really about surrounding yourself with people who you can be honest with and they can be honest with you. But I also think that like, you gotta wanna be. You have to wanna be. You know what I mean? And I'm grateful for B's mom, Tina, because she taught me about mental health at like a very young age. You know what I mean?
See,
like,
that's what it is.
That's what it is.
But
mm-hmm.
I think it's
that's what it
it's
is. No, Kelly, that's what it is. I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Keep talking. No, keep going.
That could talk. I mean, I do think that's a great part of it. But you have to learn that at an early age. And I think that your environment really starts to shape you into the person that you want to be. And that's why like mentors are important. Just having examples of like, you know, of a possibility. How did you like start filmmaking? Did you see somebody do it? Were you watching a lot of movies? You know,
I just knew it in my heart and soul. I swear to God, I was a kid.
That's incredible.
I was a terrible artist. I would draw like comic books and they were really bad. But I was always trying to visually tell a story, always. And then I was watching X-Men one day. And the thought just occurred to me. It was like the moment in 2001, The Space Odyssey, when the monkeys touched the thing. It's like, oh, I think this is somebody's job to decide, oh, I'm going to show a close-up. I didn't know they were called close-ups, but like I'm going to get really close to Rogue's face here. And then I'm going to see the whole action here.
Whoa.
And then I was like, that's got to be someone's job to pick the shots, basically.
Well, some people aren't that lucky.
Yeah.
Some people aren't that lucky or blessed to have that moment, and they have to be shown.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like I knew I wanted to be a veterinarian or a singer.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, no, I can't. I can't smell a dog's behind. It's just not my gonna be my
you
thing.
Can't? Okay. No. You're lost.
But I was literally like, that's not the job for me. I want to be a singer. I'm going to be a singer. Mm-hmm. How I'm going to do it, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I love to sing. I wake up and I sing. I dream and I sing. You know what I mean? I daydream and I sing. I'm in the car and I sing. I'm
no,
with my
same,
mommy and I sing.
But like, somehow it doesn't, it, has not
somehow
changed.
Your career hasn't hit yet.
Y'all are so funny.
Somehow. It's okay. Don't worry.
I feel like
you
Elle's
can be
is,
on my EP.
I feel like you're going to have an EP soon, Elle.
Yeah.
She is.
Yeah, I'm excited.
She is.
I'm excited.
You guys, I'm excited thinking about it. Just praying for those producers to come on.
Is that been a part of the destiny?
Yeah. So, okay, when I was really little, I used to say I wanted to be a lawyer, doctor, singer, dancer.
Wow.
And then I took dancer off and kept actor, or replaced it with actor.
But lawyer and doctor are still
lawyer
on there.
And doctor. I may have another life in like 20 years.
Okay.
So who knows? You know what? I had a therapist once who had, she had gone through three different careers, like very different. And I was like, you've lived so many lives. And she said, I think I have one more. Like, I think
wow.
I'll go into something else
wow.
a little later. And that made me like start to have so much freedom with my life.
Wow.
Because I can do whatever I want.
I'm really inspired by this concept of the two of you, like seeing women in your life who like show a vision of living
mm-hmm.
that pulls you. I've never really heard it put quite that way for whatever reason, but go ahead. I digress.
But I've been singing since I was a kid, you know, church, of course. And then I grew up in a black Southern church and I didn't have all the belting.
Mm.
So I would always be so afraid of what my voice sounds like. I have mm-hmm. like a little yodel. I got a little country in there. So then I got into musical theater and started doing that. And I loved it, but I'm like, this is also just isn't my thing. And so as I've gotten older, you were there when I bought a guitar, mm-hmm. or you were around at that
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
You remember that. Mm-hmm. And I would be... Yeah, kind of.
That's so dope.
Thank you. I would be in Justin's living room, like, trying to learn how to play.
That's
but
so dope.
I... So now I start... Like, I write, and I sing, and I play, and it's given me this, like, my own identity. Mm. I don't have to try to fit into someone else's box of what I should sound like.
Mm.
So... That's been a beautiful discovery, and I'm owning it now.
And now is the time, because
the
you
time.
Can put that music out there and get a stream, but just do me a favor and just
what?
Give us the show, okay?
Oh, I'm going. You don't.
Oh,
I already imagined. Oh my God, I'm designing lights.
Oh, I already
have. Like, I'll talk to Dime sometimes, and I'll be like, "So, Dime, this is what I'm going to have on my stage," and then she'll be like, "Well, I don't know. I'll edit it." You know, like things like that happen. Like, we'll see. But I have lights in my head. I have songs. I have the movement of the show in my head.
That's
beautiful.
That's perfect.
You guys, one day is going to happen.
So what's
in a year?
So what's next, like, for both of you? Like, what's part of the destiny and the dream that's like, maybe it's crazy? I don't know, but you've identified like there's a next part of your destiny or what it looks like. Have you? I don't know.
I'm in the middle of all this new stuff, like creating the team around me. But my dream is to do movies. I want to do great character-driven films. And one of my dreams, you want to hear this?
Yes.
One of my real dreams, and no one steal this, please. I want to play Kate from Taming of the Shrew.
Wow, you shouldn't have said that on a podcast if you didn't want anyone to know. But that's a great idea.
Like something like that.
Yeah.
I would love that. I love strong female leads. I love even broken women. I love broken characters.
Yes, you do, honey. Let me tell you something. The character you play in Bad Hair was broken. Okay.
Okay,
into
shattered.
Several pieces. Well, that's exciting. So for you right now, it's about putting the team together to support more.
Yeah.
Where are you going next, Kels?
Is producing movies.
Yes!
Like,
black
always...
female producers!
Like,
we need more of you!
I know! I remember I did a movie with Wendy Finerman.
Okay.
I kept seeing her name pop up on movies. And I remember I finally got the opportunity to work with her. She was really cool. I just sat there just like playing in the background watching her. I was like, I could do that.
Mm.
I could do that when I'm old, like when I'm older.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, I don't feel like going to a concert or making a record or perform. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not going to a concert, but performing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just want a downtime and I can be still, but I can still enjoy being creative.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I have such OCD and that would just be so much fun to me.
Right. To put that production together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And
kiss that downtime goodbye.
Yeah. Yes, because I heard it is very time consuming.
Yes, it is.
And I was like, but I would totally love to do that.
You better do things because they look fun.
Yeah.
Love
I mean,
it.
I know that it would require work, but at least it starts as fun.
Well, guys, just go vote. Like, I just can't, okay? Just vote, everybody listening, okay? All 12 of you, vote.
Yeah.
Wherever you are.
I just say, and trust your destiny? Like, trust yourself.
Yeah, unless your destiny has you voting for, like, Republicans. Just... If your destiny brings you anywhere near the Republican Party, I'm just going to tell you, it's not yours. It's somebody else's.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Go to sleep and then wake up and try again.
Try again, okay? Just try. Read some history books and hear my voice and try again. No, but for real.
And go Democratic.
We gotta make a shift in this country. Like, we actually have the ability to do it. Yes. We actually do. But this is like a real moment. This is a real fork in the road.
This is a big one.
And we kind of can't afford the steps backwards that we normally take at the moment. Like, we have a lot of real issues to solve. We really, really have to solve climate change, guys. Like, we got 20 good years.
It's so real.
We got 20 good years, and those good years are going to come with some really crazy-ass storms and shit. Like, we got stuff to do, all right? We got racism to end.
Yeah.
We got the patriarchy to bring back into size. And that's only going to happen if you get out there and you vote. So please do that.
Please vote.
This has been a wonderful show. I have to thank my beautiful guests, Kelly Rowland and Elle Lorraine, for being up in the house. I would also like to thank our producers, Gina Delvac and Kara Hart, our production engineers, Garrett Lang and Chuck Privateri. Special thanks to Vishnu Vallabhaneni, head of programming, Quinn O'Toole. Chris Bowers created our theme song. This is Don't At Me with Justin Simeon. And if you like the show, at Away, just subscribe, please, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, and leave a review. I want to hear from you. We'll be back next week with another Don't At Me.
Don't At Me!
It's gonna be fun.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us, the one-stop shop for conversations both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.